We must conclude with conjugate gradient method. What was left? The proof that all residuals are orthogonal. This property can be found given from a theorem. This is the fundamental property of the method. Let H be an integer, and let the residuals R sub 0, 1, H be non-zero. So we have not yet found the solution. Then we have two orthogonality relations. The main, that is the orthogonality between two different residuals, k different from j, both bounded by h. And another relation, I could say an A conjugate relation regarding the directions B, that is the A conjugation property between two generic direction vectors, again for k different from j. These two properties can be verified by using some of the relations that we saw yesterday. In detail, we proceed by induction on the integer h. The basic case, say h equal to 1. So the first relation becomes simply the orthogonality between the first and the second residual, and we have just proved this with the formula labeled by 10. Okay, thank you. By 10, and also the second, that is simply P sub 1 A P sub 0, which is the so-called A conjugation. So for the basic case, there is nothing new to prove. The generic case P
case, now we have h greater, larger than 1, we start from the induction assumption that is the relations 1 and 2 for previous for smaller values of h, as usual. We start from the first. The first has to be proven only for one of the two indices, the first say k equal to h plus 1 and j starting from 0 and going up to h minus 1. Why h minus 1? Because for j equal to h, we know again the orthogonality relation by the same property expressed by the formula 10. So for k equal to h plus 1,
are we proving the property for h plus 1 or for h?
The properties are two until the values h, so I am considering the value h plus 1. Okay, 1 and 2 are 2 until h. Okay? So the value, the new value, the value which is considered for the induction proof in the generic case is h plus 1. The second index is a generic j, we patiently develop one of the two residual. One of the two residuals. The first, I guess, the first, yes, using the updating formula, which was for R, for the residuals, which was labeled with 5. And which says that I rewrite it here, says that the new residual is obtained from the previous minus the step, the matrix, and pH. I substitute and take, so this the new receiver. You see immediately here the scalar product between two residual with different indices, since j goes up to h minus 1. So we have orthogonality by induction assumption. this right makes zero. We have only the step, the matrix,
there is a transposition, the matrix which is symmetric by is this quantity zero? Yes, because now we let us consider this double product and expand this residual by using the definition of the direction in the generic step of the conjugate gradient method. That is the formula which was labeled with the 7. So by 7 we can write that Rj can be written as reverting the terms in the left hand side and the right hand side of 7, we can write that Rja can be written as Pj minus beta j multiplied by P sub j minus 1. So this term becomes PHA PJ minus beta, some coefficient, PH transposed and now we have again we have again two zero products again by induction assumptions. Okay?
This we cannot do for j equal to zero.
For j, the initial values of the residual, the directions, have to be assigned conventionally, so they can be adjusted by treating them separately. This is not a problem. I can answer you. So we have proven the first notice that we have used the induction assumption both for one and for the second. Here we have used the second property. The second property is not much interesting by itself, but it is needed to prove the first. That is the main property. To conclude, we now have to consider the second. I rub out the second for the same reason, for k equal to h plus 1. Which of the two p is expanded?
the first. The first P is expanded by using the formula 7 for the index H plus 1, which gives the new direction, the residual, plus the constant beta, the previous direction. Transpose it by A by P. P sub J. Now, for the second term, you see the property of A conjugation, which is assumed by induction assumption. So this product makes zero. Only the first term is left. This transposed by A by P. Well, we want to see that this term is 0, 2. This can be found, this can be shown, recovering the product of A by P sub J from the updating formula 5. I write again the fifth formula of yesterday's lesson. Written 4 k equal to j, so we have equal to j. Written h is j. Okay. I was saying, I can get the term A by the direction P, PJ, which appears in that term by, from this formula, since its coefficient is certainly different from zero, it is also positive. So I can write 1 over the coefficient. I have here R sub j minus in this way I have only residuals in the formula. This is the coefficient, it's not important. Inside the brackets, I find Rj minus Rj plus 1. And I have again orthogonal vectors. Again by induction assumptions. This concludes the proof of the main result. What is its immediate consequence? The consequence of the theorem is the following. Is the following. theorem just proven. If H is strictly greater than N, so I would have H residuals all non-zero. By the theorem I would be in presence of more than N non-zero vectors of R to the N orthogonal. This is an absurd. This is possible. More than N residual H is greater than N mutually orthogonal, as the theorem states. This is impossible, so it is not possible that H is greater than N. The number of non-zero residual is at most N. So, conclusion. There exists an index K K less than or equal to N such that the residual is zero. In other words, the conjugate gradient method converges in at most n steps. So it can be seen as a direct method. The main result is the power of this method. We can do better in some cases. Yesterday I told you vaguely that if the matrix A has less than n distinct eigenvalues, we are sure that the convergence occurs in strictly less than n iteration, exactly less than S iterations. I write this here. If A has only S bounded by N distinct eigenvalues, then at most S iterations are required. The reason formally is rather subtle. It could be seen in a more convincing way, I guess, geometrically. But we are following this formal approach. So we have to remark before the reason. Why? First we remark geometric property true in general. This is the following. The residuals, the generic residual, are the index used here, say k. The residual, generic residual, not yet zero, belongs to the subspace generated by these vectors. The last power is the last power here is k, but it must be k minus 1. Is this an error? In the PDF file, this exponent is key, but it must be key minus 1.
Why?
No, okay. If k is 0, we have a to the 0. No, it is correct. Okay, it's correct. K plus 1 vectors. K is plus 1 vectors. Okay. This can be proved by induction, but we don't want to develop another induction proof. We can see easily that given the first residual, which depends on the arbitrary initial vector, it's sub zero. Let us give a look using the formulas of the method to the first and the second residual. You can compute them by using the formulas. This is the previous residual, the previous direction, p sub zero initially is assigned with the value r sub zero conventionally. So the first residual here we have matrix A. Forgot it. So we have this k. The second residual, we apply again the formula, the previous minus a coefficient. Who is p sub 1? P sub 1 is the residual with the same index plus coefficient beta by the previous, multiplied by the previous direction. Let us write this in a clearer way so we can write. Identity minus R sub 1, which is this, and after we have minus alpha beta A by Z. Is it right? Yes. Don't worry about the coefficient and the particular aspect of this. Oh, these polynomials in A, we want only to remark that this residual is the polynomial in the matrix A of degree 1. The second, you see here without expanding, is a polynomial, again a polynomial, polynomial in A, I have not included the remark, call it phi with an index . This polynomial is multiplied by the residual R sub 0. For the second residual, R sub 2, analogously we can write that the residual is a polynomial, say phi sub 2, in the matrix A, again multiplied by the vector R sub 0. Here the degree is 2. In general, we can say that the residual at the step k is expressible as a polynomial, say phi, of degree k in A multiplied by the first residual, the initial residual. This is exactly what is written here. A linear combination of these monomials is just a polynomial of degree k in A multiplied by the residual, the initial residual. Why we are noticing this? Because a subspace of that kind for k equal to n minus 1, I write it here, and here it is, the minus 1 that was here. In the assumption that we made, that is, if A has only S distinct eigenvalues, we can say that the dimension of this subspace of vectors is at most S. Why? Because if A, which is symmetric, as only s distinct eigenvalues, its minimal polynomial.
We saw this several weeks ago.
Its minimal polynomial.
We called it with the Greek letter C, has the form written in factorized form lambda minus lambda sub 1 and so on. This means that its degree is exactly S. So if T vectors in in this set where how can it can be seen? We consider just the minimal polynomial in A, which in A values 0, multiplied by the initial residual. This is a linear. Is a zero linear combination of the first S vectors in the set there above is a zero linear combination of the first S vector in that set with some non-zero coefficients. So the first S, again S or S plus 1, So the dimension of subspace generated by this vector cannot exceed S. The conclusion. If So, if the first S residual were all non-zero, we would have S plus 1 orthogonal, so linearly independent vectors in a subspace with dimension less than or equal to S. And this is again an answer. The orthogonality of the residual is the property that we have already seen at the beginning of the lesson. The practical consequence of this is the fact that it is better to have a matrix A with few distinct eigenvalues. So from this, the idea of we will see in the second part of the lesson better this, the idea of preconditioning stands. That is, how is it possible? Is it possible to pass from a given linear system to another system having the same solution? So, in one word, equivalent. With the matrix V, again, symmetric, with few distinct eigenvalues. This is not simple, but if we are able to do this, we will apply the conjugate gradient method to this system with a reduced number of iterations. The version of the conjugate gradient which originates from this passage, from this transformation, is called preconditioned conjugate gradient, PCG in software packages. You always find a version of this technique studied, modeled for specific kinds of symmetric metrics. Let us stop here for 10 minutes. Questions demanded?